Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you are listening to Houston Wrestling Radio, probably the best podcast in all of Texas, and probably the only one I've ever heard of. So crank it up and enjoy.
Hey, this is Bret the Hitman Hart, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio.
Hey, this is the Innovator Avant, Tommy Dreamer, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio, taking you to the extreme.
Hi, this is Booker T, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio. Now can you dig that, sucker?
Live from La Cocina Studios, it's the 202nd edition of the HWR Show. This is Abel.
This is Travis.
I'm Chris.
Hey. Thank you so much for joining us today, guys. We very much appreciate it. If you are watching live on the YouTubes, thank you so much. You can interact with us on the live chat here. I got it pulled up right here on my phone. So if you have something to say, something to comment, call us out on some of our bullshit, please do so, and I will see it and read it and maybe even make you a part of the show.
Not all the bullshit. We can only take so much.
Yeah, only so much. There's enough bullshit coming this way. We don't need it coming this way.
Yeah.
But also, if you are not watching live, if you're watching on delay or maybe a podcast version, thank you so much. You can interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/HoustonWrestlingRadio, and also on Twitter at @HWrestlingRadio. We like when we have comments, when people tell us stuff, when we have interaction.
Oh, we've got a couple for tonight's show.
Oh, we do?
Yes.
Ooh,
yes.
Excellent. So
you're getting all tingly and sad.
I know, just making me all goosebumpily. Yeah. Let's see. What do we have to talk about today? We got the pay-per-view Clash of Champions to review. I had the third episode of season 3 of Lucha Underground. We got rumors of flying around about TNA, all kinds of crazy stuff going on. So, Chris, what are we going to start off with?
Let's get Lucha Underground out of the way.
Oh, that quickly.
Lucha
Underground.
Somehow little dingy got lost.
We
can't start the show without Lil Dingy.
Yeah, we can.
Lil Dingy.
Yeah.
All right. So,
what do you remember most from Lucha?
Not a whole lot, to be honest.
Did you watch it,
buddy?
I watched it Thursday night.
And you watched it?
Well, here's the thing. I watched two episodes. Because last week, as y'all might remember, I never watched it, even though you pointed out the fact that I had access to it through your iTunes, which I didn't watch it last week, but I did watch it this week. I watched last week's episode on Monday, and then I watched this week's episode on Tuesday.
So, okay.
And before we get into this week's episode,
okay,
I'm going to go back to last week's, because y'all are getting all crazy-eyed and googly-eyed over this hardcore match, this Weapons of Mass Destruction match.
Right. Killshot and Marty Lannell.
Right. I just want to throw in my two cents on this match.
Toss away.
Since I didn't get my say in last week's episode. And
that's what you're here for.
Unfortunately, I don't want to say y'all overhyped it or anything, but to me, watching it...
That's what we do.
It was, come on, it was a hardcore match. I mean, come on. Like, I get what y'all are saying about some of the characteristics and things like that and what they're doing with the characters, but I mean,
what was the face you made on the final spot before the match was over?
Probably, ooh. I don't know.
But do that to the camera.
Foot
stomp.
Yeah, the foot stomp off the top of the ladder onto the table. So,
yeah.
Again, just a big spot for the hardcore match. Mm-hmm. And that's all it was. The oohs and ahs of that match was just big spots that you used to be able to see on WWE.
Right.
You can't do that anymore. So,
because everybody's dying, apparently, in WWE.
Yeah, I mean, it was entertaining. If we had a entertaining match of the week, I'd do that. But not match.
So if this was Houston Wrestling Entertainment, you'd be like, oh, my God, 6 stars.
Damn right.
There you have it.
But that was it. But last week's episode and this one, they are furthering the storylines of everything that carried over from last season. More stuff with Cueto and what's going on with him, Katrina, and what the hell's going on with her, and that other chick and Medallion. And Medallion is broken in half, and they're hundreds of years old. And
thousands.
She's looking good for age, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The skin tight outfit she's wearing, that isn't her either.
Mama.
Cueto being more of a, what's the word I'm looking for?
A dick?
There you go.
Ah. Yeah.
Is he into, I don't know if y'all caught this on this week's episode, but was he supposed to be like, was it inflammation that he was like snorting like coke or something in his office?
Did you think so?
Because his head was like down like that. And then he kind of went up like that. And then that's when everybody started coming to his office and interrupting him. And then it was the underworld, the underground.
The worldwide
underground. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They storm out and Taya, she like steps in and she's like, you got something on your nose. And he's like, oh. You know, he just.
So after, like when she was about to leave. Yeah. Oh, is that what that was?
That's what I took it as.
Oh, shit. You know, I didn't catch that.
So I don't know. It's just, it would complete his character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Everything they're doing, I think Lucha Underground, I think we said this from jump, though. The in-ring speaks for itself. But where they excel on, I think, is some of the
storytelling.
The storytelling, it is cheesy. It is over the top. But you know what? It's something you're not getting anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're still – the production, I think, has gotten a little bit better this season. And it's more – it's cutting more together, I think.
Well, it makes sense that the production is a little bit – better this season, because season two, it was like, well, we don't really know if there's going to be a season two once season one was over. And remember, people were scrambling for Bud Light endorsements and this and that. And it's like,
we had Bagel Bites this week.
Yeah. Season three, it's like, we know we're having season three. We're already on board for a fourth season. We're good to go. Let's go. And then, yeah, the Bagel Bites. I thought that was hilarious.
Which up until the Bagel Bites part, I was like, okay, where are they going with this? Because I was actually getting music affected. They were watching Famous B's commercial.
Yeah.
Like, because they were watching TV and it's happened to be a commercial that they're watching. He's like, God, I hate these guys. You know, yeah. That was funny. That was good stuff. And it's not like intricate storytelling or anything. It was just, if you've watched it,
you get it.
You get rewarded for watching it for so long. And if they keep that kind of stuff up, it's rewarding in itself of just that aspect. Mm-hmm. And you got some good wrestling too.
Yeah. What'd you think of Dario's Dial of Doom?
I still like it. I hope it's going to be a recurring thing, and I hope by either the mid-season finale or by Ultima Lucha 3 that somehow the dial itself gets destroyed. Like, that's where this is leading to, or where I hope it's leading to. But another great match. I really liked that the Mac came up from behind Matanza, smacked him from behind, and then boom, we went 100 miles per hour with these two gigantic dudes, you know, going at it. And I think Stryker even said himself, usually Matanza enjoys the strength and the size advantage, but in this match, not so much. But he might be lacking in the agility, you know, against the Mac. And when that was actually happening, when the match was going on, I was like, Stryker has a point. Why the fuck is the Mac not been in the main event this entire time? Why the hell is he not, you know, whipping everybody's ass and all this and that? And I kind of bought into the Mac there for a little bit. You know, I didn't think he was gonna win, but I like the last time we did the Dial of Doom, I bought that Son of Havoc was gonna pull the upset. I didn't buy it this time because
racist.
No, I didn't buy it this time because it's like, oh, I see that they're gonna do the gimmick and it's gonna be a thing, whatever. So, you know, they're going to build to something else. So obviously whoever this second person is, isn't going to win. But I was like, man, I really wish I could see the Mac do more things like this to where maybe he could be in a position to win, where I would suspend the disbelief of knowing fucking marquee stuff about how wrestling works and all that. Like, oh,
but
I want to see.
But don't forget, Lucha Underground is the only wrestling show that I've seen that you can't, they're not always predictable.
That's true.
That's another enjoyable thing about the show. You never know.
For a show that's been taped 8 years ago, and you still don't know.
Right.
I ain't spoilers.
Shit, neither am I.
Really?
Well, I was spoiled on one thing that happened this season, and I'm trying to forget it.
Okay.
But, did I tell you guys that I think it was during season two, up until that point, Lucha was really good about not spoiling things on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually called him out. Like, I messaged him on Facebook. I said, dude, what the hell? I was basically saying, you know, y'all been really good about not spoiling things on Facebook, and I appreciate that. But it was a picture that they showed of, I think it was someone who won a title or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, come on, man, not everybody can watch it the next day or the same day. So I'd appreciate it if y'all wouldn't
Well, give us a few days.
Yeah. And they actually responded and he says, oh, okay, well, we apologize. We'll work on it and things like that. But they never did. But that's the point. The point is they responded.
I want my apology, goddammit.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's one of those things.
What do you think of the dial?
It's a fun little gimmick, and Cueto, his character at this point is so over the top evil. I mean, it's not just authority figure. That was my one gripe from season one. Mm-hmm. Once they started doing like heelish things, because before he was kind of calling down the middle, being just a proprietor, you know, he's just making matches, things like that. And then every so often in season one, he'd do like a heelish thing for the sake of being a heel. And I was like,
well, last season he killed a guy.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying.
it's kind of a heelish thing, I say. Yeah.
Certain parts of the country.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where his characters progress so much over the top.
Even then, like, I think even now, he's not just like a McMahon authority figure where he wants to screw over one person and this and that. Although he does several times. He wants to screw over certain individual people. But, like, Pentagon, if this was the McMahon's, Pentagon would be like, oh, we don't like him. We don't, the only reason why we're not firing you is because we want our revenge. But no, with Pentagon, he said, I respect him as a competitor.
Yeah.
You know, and he brings a lot of violence to my temple. Like, you know. And
the followers like him.
Yeah.
So I will not disgrace our followers.
Exactly.
I gotta disgrace y'all.
So I think the little bit of the angle of I just like violence, I think that.
And that's, I think that would explain Cueto just in general. It's like he likes violence.
Would that also explain the best of five between Tejano and Cage?
Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for the fact, and we're going to talk about this, if it wasn't for the fact that Cesaro and Sheamus is doing their thing at the best of 17, I probably would be like, okay, I'm fine with this. But, dude, right now, at this point in the game, it's just unfortunate that WWE is doing their thing the way they're doing it. And it's just – it's
that's not the last thing I wanted to hear from any wrestling promoter right now.
Yeah.
Best of five, best of seven, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, come on.
Here's the part that I do like. He said it from the first match. We didn't already have two matches before. We just reset at the clock. Mm. It's five, not seven. Mm-hmm. And it's Dario that's in charge of doing this. So I'm pretty sure he's going to spice things up as these matches go.
Good point.
And the other part is we don't even know what the fuck they're doing this for.
It's more the ultimate opportunity.
And knowing him, it could be like a blessing and a curse depending which way you look at it.
It could be the best thing or the worst thing.
So they're leaving enough on the table for you to think about that'll, at least for me, that keep me interested in this regardless if it's 2-1, 3-2-2 or whatever they want to go with it.
Right. Yeah.
Because they haven't just shown the entire hand and just let me – observe it. Like, they're still keeping a lot of stuff.
I'm not already checked out yet.
Yeah.
But just hearing the best of thing is like, come on.
It's like, I just busted a nut. I don't want to do this again.
To Chris's point, they recorded this, 8 years ago. So it's not like they could have called an audible. It's like, oh, well, WWE just did it. We can't do it now.
You know what? Honestly, so I didn't think about that aspect of who's copying who type thing. No.
Did you think of it in the aspect of, fuck, I got to watch five matches with Tejano in it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That being said, that was fucking fun, dude.
It was
Tejano
nice
and Cage.
If they keep them quick and short like that, I won't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing I've noticed besides main event matches. Lucha doesn't really go that far into, for example, Roman and Rusev on Raw, two commercial breaks to open the show. So if this is going to be like opening the show or in the middle, these aren't going to be 15, 20 minute drawn out, elaborate wannabe masterpieces. The first couple are going to be quick.
That's the advantage of an hour show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the last one, maybe two, you're going to start seeing it a little bit more drawn out.
It'll be like the main event of one show.
If it wouldn't shock me if they had enough gall to tease Marty the Moth and Killshot main eventing an episode. If this does, obviously, if it ends up going to five, I wouldn't mind seeing this end the show just to see what the cliffhanger would be. Here's the opportunity. You're fucked either way, whatever it ends up being,
So
I'm not big trouble. I'm not checked out yet. As a matter of fact, I'm in right now. So
yeah, because we don't. It's not like where it's WWE where you have them wrestling every fucking week. You know, you get breaks like the Dial of Doom. They did the first episode, they skipped a week, and then went back to the third week. And same thing with storytelling also. They took a break off from the stories, what they're telling.
You don't get everybody every week. It's a little they sparse everyone out.
Which is kind of weird because one of our main complaints about NXT is that, oh, man, they just dropped this storyline for 3 or 4 weeks, and then, oh, now they're picking up. Where the fuck is the champ?
That was a complaint from season 2.
Okay.
We asked that. There was a few stories like that where it's like, what happened to this guy and this and that? Yeah, that happened.
Like that, they highlight like it. All the important characters get some kind of acknowledgement. Like for the 20 minute match we got last week of Killshot and Marty the Moth, we got maybe a 30 second promo of Mil Muertes in the back locker room with the release. And that was enough to remind, to keep that light burning of that storyline while you got a little bit of everything else. Like this week, the tease was, oh, Mysterio's in a guest referee, Dragon Azteca against Chavo Guerrero, and the winner's going to face Pentagon Dart. Mm-hmm. And that was it, just a little minute and a half promo at the end just to remind you, oh, hey, Rey Mysterio's on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's stuff like that. I think now with two seasons in, they're starting to find their stride of how to – like spread everything out, but still give you enough of everything so that you know everybody's on the same level.
Now, all that being said, I think that this wasn't the most riveting episode.
Oh no, you're not going to have, and that, yeah. Not every show is going to be a home run.
Exactly. I mean, it's the same way with anything else on TV. You want to talk about Mr. Robot or Breaking Bad or anything. You're always going to have your Walking Dead. You're going to have your lull episodes, you know, it's just like building stuff up for other episodes.
But even with Lucha, at least like if you're going to put this like in baseball terms, at least they get on base every time. You know, on the contrary, here's our notes for tonight. We ain't got shit for NXT. Like we sure. completely forgot. Like I remembered a couple of bits. You didn't watch any of it.
Watch it.
Travis is still struggling to remember. So it's that's like,
I'm old,
well, he's old. You're lazy. I'm a horny alcoholic. It happens. But the point is, like, there's not enough substance continuously for NXT that it used to be, say, a year ago.
Right.
I don't know if that new car smell already wore off, or if it's just other things. But
we mentioned it last week. Said it last week. Yeah. It's like it doesn't. Nothing matters except for the takeover specials at NXT now. Yeah, so yeah,
that's right.
Fuck it. So if we're transitioning away from Lucha Underground, and it sounds like we went in and out of NXT, although Travis.
One last thing.
Ah, one more thing.
One more thing. Give it up for the band they've been playing lately on Lucha, Chimps.
Yeah!
Yeah. I've never heard of them before, but they're pretty good. Yeah. So
like the band that did the last half of last season, they were pretty good too.
That was the band that was at the
in Austin, yeah, that cover Austin, band. It was like Spanish versions of like pop. Like they did that Maroon 5 moves like Jagger, but in Spanish.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, Clash of the Champions.
Whoa, let's get to it.
What did you do on Sunday?
I watched Clash of the Champions,
start to finish.
Yes, I did not watch the pre-show, but I started live.
Okay, how about you?
Same, but I watched the pre-show too.
Okay.
Oh, really? Okay, cool. Well, then.
What
about you, bitch?
Well, that was a Houston Open Air on Sunday, which...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wasn't a complete loss.
No?
Wasn't a complete loss. No, the show was canceled as soon as I got there. I got rained on for 2.5 hours.
Bucks.
Oh, yeah. Got rained on for 2.5 hours just for them to tell me, hey, you know what? It's canceled. All right, fine. Went home, started drinking. Found out on Facebook and Twitter. It's like, hey, Warehouse Live is teasing Deftones for free if you got missed out of the show.
Oh.
Waited in line at House of Blues for Warehouse Live for about 2.5 hours for them to tell us, you know what, we couldn't get him. Sorry. What you gonna do?
Okay, la chingada.
So I went back on Twitter, and by then White Oak Music Hall had confirmed headliner Avenged Sevenfold was gonna be playing for free. 18 and over, first come, first serve. Bring your ticket. It wasn't free for the public. It was only for people that got fucked over.
Okay.
What, just for people that got fucked over. Waited 3 hours in the second line before I finally got in. And this was the show started at 11:30.
This man likes his music, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, Lord. So, it started at 11:30.
And an hour and a half later.
You don't have one of their fucking CDs? God damn.
This is my first time seeing Avenged Sevenfold. And yeah.
It's not your first time hearing them, bitch.
It's fucking worth it, man. That's a show that only about 1,000 people were able to see that were there. They played some rarities. It was awesome. Bacon was hunting with me throughout the day.
There you go.
Because I wanted to see Ghost. And Nicole was like all over Ghost. They wound up being at Dirt Bar that night, but they weren't in costume because Ghost, they're a character, a gimmick band. So they're like in priestess costumes and paint and all like Day of the Dead stuff almost.
Yeah, yeah.
They weren't in their costume, but they're just like civilians. And Nicole couldn't figure out who was who, so she's like, fuck it, I'm going home. So overall, it was but in between, waiting in line because there wasn't anything for me to watch, I peeked in a couple of matches of Clash of Champions. Just like Mega Man, I loved TJ Perkins' entrance.
Yes. That's probably the best thing of the night.
Yeah. That easily earned him a pop that might that he might not have necessarily got had he not had that in that audience.
Right. You know, and I wasn't upset at his interest music that he had during the CWC. In fact, I got on YouTube and jammed it a couple of times. I thought it was okay. But
we see how you jam. But,
well,
can you handle this? Well, I'm out of change this week. I forgot my wallet, so I'll PayPal
he'll
you.
He'll dance for free.
Yeah.
Among other things.
I do it for the people.
Yeah.
But no. Once that music hit, that video game music hit, and the freaking Titantron, you know, with
HP,
the
Max Health,
the 8-bit stuff. Oh god, I marked out so hard. I thought that was freaking amazing. I loved it. Loved
I saw his reaction because he didn't watch it until Monday. Mm-hmm. I said, You gotta watch this before the show. So flipped it on. It was good. The slightest bit of me was like, God damn, like it's like that niche thing they're trying to hit with some of the wrestlers they have on WWE with the video game nerd culture aspect. Down. Yeah, mm-hmm. That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So just a little part of the back of my mind is like, God damn. But I mean, other than that.
Not to mention, this is PG era. A lot of that audience is kids. And they're playing video games regardless. If they don't understand the 8-bit tune, they're going to notice the Street Fighter like face logos when you're picking a fighter.
An average, typical 8-year-old in this day and age?
12-year-old, 13.
12, 13. Average kid in this day and age probably wouldn't recognize that. To them, that's not video games. Video games is Call of Duty, you know? So, no.
There's so many hipsters now, and they'll know.
Well, retro. What I'm trying to say is that retro shit, that's for us.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's for us. That's for, you know, the 25 on up, you know.
You know, it's funny. Mega Man, like, mentioned it on Twitter.
On Twitter, yeah.
But what I thought of when I heard the music was fucking Lil Mac from Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Yeah!
And it fits him as a character, too.
That sounds like a new shirt design. Yeah. TJP and the Little Mac get up. We'll make it work.
Jogging.
Yeah.
Jogging down, doing his training.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I'm seeing montage in my head right now.
Yeah. That's awesome. So,
Mark Henry be his coach.
Now, the nit to pick between Monday's number one contender and this match on Clash of the Champions, I didn't get – for me, when I watched the Cruiserweight Classic, when they made the effort to bring back this division, give them the belt, I was thinking Cruiserweight matches, Guerrero, Jericho, Mysterio, high-flying, moving around, 100 miles an hour, start to finish. I honestly don't think that's what I got last Monday on Raw when they had the number one contender match. And I don't think that's what I got on Clash of the Champions. It was a lot more slow paced. Again, we're big fans of both the guys, the storyline with Brian Kendrick right now. But when they're hyping up this division as high flying, bouncing around, doing stuff we've never seen, and most of the stuff is like grounded, it wasn't really what I was expecting. Like, I'm expecting Dean Malenko, like, maybe 6 or 7 months down the road, once the division's already here, to be the guy to ground the X Division guys, not already have somebody that's going to, like, keep everything slow. If some of that match felt slow for me.
Did the tag team match on this week's episode alleviate some of that?
Oddly enough, what alleviated the most was Tony Nese and TJ.
Because
he was he's another pinball that goes off that goes off with TJ. That's when I started to feel, all right, this is what I remember the Cruiserweight
division. So the singles match, not the tag match.
Yeah, the tag match a little bit, but still, like, how often did we get tag matches in the Cruiserweight division back in the old OCW? Mostly, it was a lot of singles matches to try to individualize everyone.
It seemed like a tag match in the old WCW Cruiserweight division was Texas Tornado style rules, things like that. But it was on pay-per-views. It wasn't on Raw.
Yeah.
At least nothing I can think of. Mm-hmm. Again, that was a long time ago, so. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I want to be as critical of that, saying that the style is off, because I don't know if it's quite off yet enough to like complain about, say, that all of the whole division is fucked. I do like that TJP is showing that he's more than just a flippy dippy guy.
His finisher is the submission.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the submission stuff, but he seems to be low-key cerebral. And I kind of said this last week. He had this quiet confidence where he's going to face Kota Ibushi, but he's going to out-Ibushi. You know, he checked the kick, he did this and that. So there's a little bit of martial artsiness in there. I think they're trying to display, at least with TJP, that he's a smart wrestler. And I kind of really like that about him, you know?
From what I've seen so far in the Cruiserweight division, there's nothing that I see that I can really – I mean, I could pick if I wanted to, but it's me, for God's sake. But, I mean, it's just it is what it is. When I think of Cruiserweights, and this goes back to what I said about the final match of the Cup or the Classic, whatever, was if that last match, the final match, it felt like an old school WCW Cruiserweight match.
Yeah.
And that's the style that I'm sensing ever since they went on Raw. And I think it's the hype we're going for. I think where you're expecting is from all those weeks of those promo packages on Raw of them high flying, non-stop.
Because that's all they show
that's
us.
That's all they were showing.
So that's what, as a viewer, that's what I'm expecting. And casual viewers that are watching at home, I'm certain that's what they're expecting too. So that might explain the quietness, not on last night's, but last week in, when they debuted the division in that Fatal 4-Way. And that's because maybe that's what they also expected, because that's what they were showing.
No, here, as opposed here's the to thing. People that watch it. First of all, a lot, 9/10 of that Cruiserweight roster is no names to a general audience.
That's right. Yeah.
And you can hear that in the reactions.
Yes. Oh, for Pete's sake, they were chanting CM Punk during that match.
Yeah. But okay, but there's one thing. And the other one is, I think this Cruiserweight division would have got off to a better start. And not that it's a bad start, I'm just saying it could have been a better start.
Yeah.
If we haven't already had the Cruiserweight style already in effect in the Raw roster, in SmackDown, in NXT. We see these guys wrestle. Neville, Sami Zayn, all these guys, Kofi, everybody goes over the top rope. We see this is not unheard of wrestling style.
Right.
We've already had this style. They're just labeling it. They're putting a label on this style of wrestling. Yeah. And I think there's a bit of a not a miscommunication, but just what was the word I'm looking for? But it's just one of those things where they're packaging it as something we've never seen before.
Yeah.
But we see it every goddamn week. You know, so it's one of those things where I don't know what they're expecting.
Yeah, well, I also kind of see that they don't want to just kind of give away the whole farm right from the get-go on matches that are on Raw that's supposed to be introducing the wrestlers. You know, because I don't expect every single match to be Ultimate X from 2005. You know, if they did do that, it's like, well, shit, what are they going to put on the pay-per-views? Shit, what are they going to put, you know, once they actually have a feud going? That was part of the reason why the X Division wound up sucking there towards the end, maybe like 2 or 3 years ago. It's like, oh, yeah, they're just going to do the flippy dippy crap, and that's it.
It started sucking because Hornswoggle and who is it?
Torito.
No, Hornswoggle
won. I was talking about on TNA.
Oh, TNA. Oh, I'm thinking of last time it was on WWE.
Yeah, no. I was talking about the X Division. Oh, the X Division started to suck because it was only flippy dippy stuff, and that's it. You know, no story. And I think what they're going to try to do is put story and character and all that into these guys, which they're investing a lot of time and character into Brian Kendrick. They're putting a lot of time and character into TJP. Hopefully, the same with you could be said about Rich Swann and Cedric Alexander. You know, if they're gonna invest all that time, that's kind of the WWE style. You get emotionally invested in the guys, then maybe later we can have the flippy dippy spot fest and make it awesome.
Like, say we're Drew Gulak. I don't think he was originally announced as part of the roster, but
correct,
he made his debut and he had a little package before the thing, so they keep that kind of stuff up. You know, you have something there. Here's one thing. Now, since we're talking about Cruiserweights, we saw this on the pay-per-view where they changed up the ring and everything just for the
match. Oh, yeah.
They taped up everything right before the match, and then they untaped everything after the match.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. I didn't think they were going to be doing
that. That's got to be a pain in the ass.
That's going to be a big pain in the ass. My thing was on Raw, they did the same thing.
They did.
But they had two separate segments.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to do that, man, that seems like wasted effort to – do all that work for one match, undo it, and then like an hour later, do it again.
You're right, but here's the way I'm feeling about it. Ain't your fucking problem. You ain't part of the ring crew.
Yeah.
So if they're that good and they can pull that shit off, ain't no skin off my back. You know, like, I do know that, like, from going to live Raws and this and that, that sometimes, you know, periodically they change out the mat and stuff in the middle of, like, commercial break segments.
Oh, so yeah, they even had the fast logos on the mat.
Yeah.
For TJ's.
Right. I missed it the first time, but I saw, after you pointed out the second time.
So if they are that efficient about it and that fast about it, and it's not fucking up the show or something, then hey, I'm sure they get paid lots of money. So if they can do it, fuck it, let them do it. You know, that's kind of how I felt about it.
I think the other thing that I'm trying to work on myself as far as the visuals, it kind of pertains to it, at least because I view it. When UFC bought out WEC, they picked up all the light heavy, the lightweights, the strawweights, the flyweights, all the smaller divisions.
The stuff they didn't have before.
The weight classes that UFC didn't have because they didn't think they can draw.
Right.
And then you saw Anthony Pettis kick off cages, and you saw all these guys like really going 100 miles an hour compared to when you see like Junior Dos Santos or Wordham or anybody in the other divisions. So when I have that experience watching that from UFC, and then how realistic they made the Cruiserweight Classic look, all legitimate, like a sport.
Yeah.
So when I'm seeing it on Raw, I was like, all right, I'm expecting to go 100. Why is it on cruise control? Like, I think that's the other part, at least for me, that I'm trying to like shut off. But the it's not helping what they're showing the audience as opposed to what they're getting in the ring. But towards the end of Raw, between the tag match and TJ's non-title match, it's getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since we're talking about, I'm sure we're wrapping up the Cruiserweight talk, but one thing I wanted to mention, it kind of goes back to, we kind of skipped over NXT because we didn't really have anything to say about it, but I did think of something. There was, on this week's episode of NXT, they had a backstage promo with Cedric Alexander.
Okay.
Talking about he's finally making his in-ring debut for NXT, and he's so excited, and all this other stuff, and this comes back to the taping situation on NXT, where they talked to him. He had a couple minute promo backstage of him, and it was a really good promo of him talking about how excited he was to make his in-ring debut in WWE or he's at NXT. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, this has been great. If we didn't already see him on the main roster
on Raw
last week,
yeah.
There's that, and I think it was one other thing on NXT. Oh, there was Austin Aries called out
Hideo.
Yeah, I think so. But he called him out, and he got in the ring, and Austin did the same freaking thing we've always seen heels do.
They talk trash, call him out. As soon as they get here, they bloop.
Yeah, he jumped out of the ring and walked away. Same thing at NXT, man. Come on, get at least once.
Oh, man, and see, that was the thing that kind of made Austin Aries cool in TNA. Like, he wasn't just a coward, you know? He didn't back down. Like, he was
the greatest man that ever lived.
Yeah, he had a fucking Napoleon complex. He was little, but he was fierce.
Yeah,
you know?
He's
like,
scrappy.
Yeah, he's scrappy, you know? And, like, he had the balls to come up with, well, I'm just going to give you back the exhibition title and challenge for the world title and then win. Like, but that's the thing. You go into the E, and, dude, sometimes in WWE, it's always, like, cowardly heels, and I don't know why.
Cedric Alexander, he did fight Cien
Andrade.
Yeah. That was actually a decent match.
That was the main event I forgot to write down.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But it wasn't too long, but it didn't feel like a bad, like it didn't drag or anything. Yeah.
Okay.
And it was just a good showcase piece. But I think in that particular match, I could see maybe them starting a heel turn for Cien. They need to do something with him.
Well, the bigger problem that you addressed, they need to figure out who needs to be on what.
Yeah.
You know, rumors are abound that they're bringing back the Dusty Classic again for NXT, and the Bollywood Boys are actually in it.
Are they?
So if they're going to be there, fuck it. Don't put them on Raw.
Well, they said
and just the same thing with you. Like, we just saw Cedric on Raw, and now we saw him Raw again. So why are we suddenly bragging that he's, like, debuting on NXT? It's either one or the other. Same thing with Ciampa and Gargano. If they're going to lose, just lose already so that we can go on and have you on Raw, because I want to see them on fucking Raw.
You know, speaking of
– I kind
of
forgot about that. They're just been Raw.
Yeah. we kind of also forgot about something else. After the Cruiserweight Classic finished, there was rumors, and I don't know if this is still true or not, but the rumors are that they're going to do this again next year, but instead with Cruiserweights, with ladies. You know, have a women's classic thing and just sign women wrestlers that are independents or whatever.
I don't know if it should be 32, but
you're
kind of pushing it 16.
Okay.
But for the indie scene and the worldwide scene, international.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these guys that we heard about, we just never seen them.
A lot of them we haven't.
A lot of them we haven't, but
there was enough premium talent in the guys that we were aware of that if they're there, then the other ones can't all just be like scrubs. Right. Some of them have to be worth it to be in the same discussion with these guys. That's why I gave that show the benefit of the doubt. As far as the women go, I don't know.
So basically next year they're going to buy out Shimmer.
Yeah. You know, that wouldn't be that bad.
Here's the weird thing, because I hesitated to do this on our Facebook page. I wanted to set up our own second Cruiserweight Classic. Like, say, like we'll post a thread up on Facebook. And I was like, all right, let's make suggestions for the next Cruiserweight Classic. The gimmick is, if you've already picked a wrestler, you can't repick it. So if he said ACH, so if he would put on Facebook, all right, I'm picking ACH, then we have to come up with somebody else. So that we can have a list of at least 20 or 30 guys that we would think, hey, you know what? This could be a decent Cruiserweight Classic redo, or have some, or have TJ be in the tournament again to defend his trophy.
Would ACH meet the weight requirements?
Should have Cedric cut 20?
No, mm-hmm. Oh, okay. He'd have to cut some stuff though.
I think next year, if they do a Cruiserweight next year, I definitely think we'd be seeing some talent from Lucha.
Okay.
Oh yeah,
dude. Puma. I think his contract's up next year. I think. So there's got to be some more talent in Lucha that's going to be free next year. Not to mention, I'm sure you got some other talent from Mexico and Japan that they can bring over.
Mascarita Sagrada.
Dude, what a fucking farewell! Don't make wait. What a fucking farewell tour. They get Rey Mysterio on there for the second one.
Like the Brian Kendrick thing, but yeah, with Rey Mysterio.
Maybe. Very cool.
What else happened in Clash of Champions that got your attention?
Can we talk about the girls?
Sure, go for it.
Okay. I thoroughly enjoyed that match, the three-way. I know that we kind of were already talking about us being tired of seeing these three girls together, and that pretty much being the Raw women's division, and that's it.
I didn't see it.
But I think you missed something. I think it was a decent little match. No? You didn't like it?
Maybe because I'm already checked out of all this. It wasn't a bad match, but I just – For me to be invested in the match,
yeah,
I was already kind of checked out. So, And the fact that Charlotte retained,
yeah,
that was another thing. That was a whole thing going up, and no big surprises or nothing up until, the only title change was Roman.
Well, is Charlotte retaining in and of itself a big surprise?
Not really.
No? Okay. Well, I like the match itself. You know, we could say whatever we want to say about, you know, the booking and, you know, the story and the characters going into it, which
Basically everything.
I agree with. I agree with you on all that. But take all that aside, forget that we've seen it 15 million times with all these girls together. If this was the first match that we've seen all three women together, God, I would have liked it. I wouldn't say that it's so Christopher Daniels versus Samoa Joe versus AJ Styles level quality of a triple threat, but it was good, you know, the match. So I don't know.
One thing that I would say surprised me was in the pre-show with Alicia Fox versus Nia Jax.
Okay,
I
didn't watch that.
I was expecting a full-on squash of Alicia Fox, but she actually came out the gate and attacking her. She actually, pretty early in the match, she actually got Nia Jax down.
Really?
First on her, she got down to one knee, and then she actually dropped her, you know. Nice. And she was holding her own.
I saw the highlight where she did the axe kick on Nia.
Yeah, that was towards in her
thing. Survival.
Yeah. But Nia she did a good job of kind of the same thing what Awesome Kong used to do, make her opponents look good. And I think that's what she ended up doing for Alicia Fox, because she didn't.
Not that Alicia's incompetent. I mean, she can wrestle if the talent's there for her to bounce off of.
She's a former champion.
Oh well, then if that's the case.
So no, but you know what I'm saying. Nia Jax sold enough to make herself look powerful, but also made her opponent look powerful as well too.
Okay,
or credible, I should say.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was pleasantly surprised on that match. Nowhere near a classic match or anything like that, but I was expecting a lot less.
Okay.
So
that's fair.
How about match number 7 between Cesaro and your big brother Sheamus?
All right. It's my cousin, actually. But yeah. It was fine. Actually, it took the second viewing when I was watching, when I was showing you, I had checked out of it, but when I was showing the match to you, I said, "Hey, check out the end of this match, whatever." And it made me like get back into
check out Super Stretch Armstrong's neck.
Yeah, I just wanted to see for the spot, the Cesaro, what happened? He damn near breaking his neck,
right?
That suicide dive. But rewatching that, it's on roll. What are you doing? All right, rewatching it. Dude, them are killing each other at the end of that match.
Yes.
You knew it was going to be stiff from match negative two because that's what, you know, mm-hmm. that's where it started.
Yeah. The finish, up until Raw, I was like, come on. But the way they resolved it on Raw, now you've got my attention.
What did you really? Think? What did you think of the finish before you rebut him on Raw? What did you think of the whole killing it at seven?
Honestly, Raw? I was questioning whether or not that was kayfabe. I wasn't sure, and I'm glad that I wasn't sure. Because I mean, the sick bump. Holy shit! You know, he landed on his head, and I don't know why trainers weren't out there right then and mm-hmm. there to, like, check on him and stop the match. But then, you know, 5 minutes later, whatever it was, they're out there, and they're maybe a doctor saw something. Maybe, you know, he was, you know, dizzy when he wasn't supposed to be, or maybe he gave out a special signal or something. I don't know. And then they stopped the match. So I was thinking, shit, did he really hurt himself? Wait, is he concussed and we just don't know it to the layperson? Am I not able to tell? And the trainers are like, what's going on? So I didn't know what to think at the finish, you know? So because I didn't know what to think, I was okay with it. But even before the sixth spot and even before the end of the match, I was enjoying the match, you know? And I thought that what I was going to focus on tonight, watching the match, in the middle of watching it, what I thought, what I was going to keep bringing up is the Swiss 1-9.
yeah.
But that's not what we're talking about. Like, holy shit, Cesaro did a 6-1-9. He busted out new fucking shit from his, you know, arsenal. Sheamus did
borrowed somebody else's arsenal.
Well, that's true, but Sheamus even did some new stuff in there too, and they're like, they really went at it, you know?
That's, they have to because it's the seventh match.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was about to say. They did what they needed to do to show that they're a little bit more versatile, that they have more stuff. Maybe some of these things will be
the weight was worth it,
basically. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I by no means am like saying, oh, this is a 10 either. I'm not like over the moon with it, but I liked it a little bit better than I thought I was going to like it.
All things considered, this is a match to be candidate for me after watching it. I don't know if it's my pick, but right now that's – like hearing it again, reminding with you guys,
right?
The only flaw I had, like if Cesaro was already standing and Sheamus is like failing the sobriety test, but he's still moving and they still want to fight, the better way if they were really going to end it at seven, okay, they both had a count out, but they're both standing up. They want to keep going. One's already in the ring. Fuck it. Throw them in the ring again. Have like some, have them hit like their finishers or somehow a combo of each other to where they fall down mm-hmm. and they have one shoulder over each other. So it's a double pinfall. It's like, okay, they pinned each other, but they don't want to leave yet. They want to figure it out. Or Foley comes out and says, fuck it. I need a fucking finish. Let's do it again. And they, and 5 more minutes of them beating the shit out of each other to the point that they're both gone, spent, out of gas, laying there dead. 10 count, none of them win. And that's to show that both guys didn't want to lose the way they wanted to lose and they wanted to find a finish. Like the way it ended, it left a bit to be desired.
Yeah.
And for something that I would have wanted to see there as opposed to wait till the next night on Raw.
Okay.
Which, what happened on Raw?
Well, on Raw, they both came out. Well, Foley was out there talking about it, and then they both came out and berated each other and Foley and what have you. And then Foley said, I have a solution. Like, okay, great. Here comes match number 8. Or here comes, hey, you guys get a title shot, but it'll be triple threat with both of you. No, Foley comes out and says, no, the best idea is put you two in a tag team. Like, what? And you guys are getting a shot at the tag titles. Wait, what? Okay. I didn't like that.
What would have been your best case scenario? Because I have one.
Okay.
And I want to hear yours first. What would you have wanted to see? What would you have wanted the resolution to be if you didn't want number 8?
Then, yeah, well, what I just said, a triple threat against whoever, you know, whichever title holder they wanted to throw it, either the U.S. title or the Universal title.
What about you?
I thought that's where they were going. Whenever he said, you're gonna get your opportunity and you're gonna get your opportunity. And then he said at the same time, he was kind of like twisting everything around to wait to get to it. And then when he said that,
I was thinking
triple threat. I thought they were both gonna get it. But then this big swerve at the end, together at the same time, it's a tag team. I was like, okay. I mean, I get it at first, but you have, before I get into it, you said you
yeah,
had
you, you,
so here, was so okay, between them announcing that Rollins had hurt his ribs and the fact that that was his third Universal title match that he lost, Rollins,
okay.
Yeah, he lost to Finn at SummerSlam. He lost the Fatal 4-Way match in Houston, right. And he lost Clash of Champions.
Okay.
So you're bringing out Sheamus and Cesaro, a guy that's already been a heavyweight champion and a guy that's just looking for an excuse to give him a title shot. Hell in a Cell's coming up.
Okay.
Owens, Cesaro, Sheamus.
I dig it.
In the cage.
I dig it.
It's an A pay-per-view. You don't have – it's yours. You've been throwing the ball with Owens. Run with it. Give him those two in the cage. Have it main event the pay-per-view. Let's see what it's worth.
No. Let's have him fight for the tag titles.
Oh, well, in that case, this next segment is brought to you by Booty-O Cereal.
They make sure
you ain't booty.
That is, box seemed awfully light.
Is that payoff going to work, having Cesaro and Sheamus team up against the face New Day that are...
Stop talking. No, because I tell you right now, Clash of Champions, that was another thing that I was disappointed about, was New Day retaining titles against Gallows and Anderson. I don't know why they keep – everybody says, yeah, let's keep the title. They need – yeah, they're still over. They're still entertaining. Let's keep the titles on them. My point of view is they're so over, they don't need the belts. And even if they don't have the belts, they have enough mic skills to get the point across that they want the belts back. Mm-hmm. I don't see why they can't just drop the belts. They're already the longest reigning champs of all time. You've already
402 days.
You made that point already. So just drop them. You're going to put over another team in Gallows and Anderson, who people are already checking out at this point, I think. Mm-hmm. And now on top of this, with Sheamus and Cesaro, we were thinking the rematch for the tag titles on Raw, that's when they were going to
drop them to them
right. So that Sheamus and Cesaro
there
would
could
go
build
after
heat.
Yeah, faces and heels, or whatever you're going to do with Sheamus and Cesaro. But now you're going to put Sheamus and Cesaro, they're going to get buried going up against New Day.
Mm.
You know, it's not fair to them. I was almost checked out of the whole tag team thing until we started seeing the interaction on that tag team match with
Cesaro and Sheamus against his jobbers.
Yeah.
Going back and forth, the chemistry's there.
Yeah,
because you hadn't thought of Rock and Sock when they first put them together until later on when you were watching that match.
And I started thinking of Stone Cold and Mankind, Stone Cold and Shawn Michaels, and Shawn Michaels and John Cena, things like that. This is not a new concept, but it's
been a while.
Hell no, I didn't even think about that tag team until.
Hell no, good point.
So the chemistry is there, the opportunity is there for some entertaining matches and mm-hmm. that. So, but to put that entertainment aspect against the New Day?
Well, there's a lot of stuff there that I want to touch on. I guess first, Gallows and Anderson, you know what? I was saying last week that New Day needs to keep the title because they need to keep selling those booty-o boxes. But
well, I guess I need to buy another one.
Yeah, but you know what, Trav, I agree with you. Now, I've come over to the bright side.
Fuck you.
The New Day, they don't need the belts to be over. And what I saw from Gallows and Anderson at Clash, oh God, yeah, they should be the
and they had such a good strategy going in there. They looked really strong going into the start of that tag team match.
They were vicious. Vicious, I tell you.
And the faces had a cheat.
Yeah.
Dude, come on, man. I've said that from jump, where you've already eliminated any heat your heels can get because they're outnumbered by the faces.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that booking 101 to have it outnumber the faces?
They were the badasses in that match.
Welcome to the Attitude Era.
It's not the Attitude Era.
You got Kevin Owens winning. He's not being the prototypical heel. Seth Rollins right now not being the prototypical face. You got the NWO with the trumpet winning by numbers, even though they're the bad guys and they're getting cheered.
No, they're faces.
Yeah, but still, the New Day, like they're doing heelish things, but they're still faces and they're still getting over as faces doing heelish things. That's Attitude Era stuff. That's a rip of Steve Austin almost.
Yeah, maybe, but I wouldn't say that unicorn pink and blue clad New Day are like Stone Cold. But putting that aside, when it comes to Cesaro and Sheamus, I wasn't on board with it initially. And it wasn't the match that turned me around. What turned me around was when Foley got in their faces and said, "This is why I put you guys together. I can't afford for you two to kill each other because you're my two best guys. I really believe in you, and I don't want to lose two of my best guys because you kill each other. That's why I'm going to put you guys together so you can go out there and kill other people because I believe in you." That is when I turned my opinion around and I said, "Oh, nope."
Boom. Same here. I agree. Now, I'm going to transition here in a second, but that was the highlight with a backstage segment with Mick Foley on Raw.
Okay.
There was another backstage segment with Foley that was terrible.
Stephanie?
Stephanie just ripping, like,
Stephanie got his balls
and cut him off.
Nyeh. Yeah.
Tore him a new asshole. He's like emancipated like forever. Like, again, you can't get your payback on Stephanie. And this contradicts the buildup they've been having lately. It's been kind of wishy-washy with them too. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that we praised a few weeks ago was him coming to her and going, "You're still the little girl that I watched grow up," yeah, and this and that.
And it finally none of that, seeds of doubt in my mind.
None of that was in that backstage right. promo. And that just destroyed his credibility as a GM. Mm. No one wants to see someone, get talked down by their manager. Like, it's too
– I don't want
to see – You try to escape reality when you from watching wrestling. And when you kind of – and you see that on – it's like, that's like too realistic of getting chewed out by your boss.
Right.
You know?
And I don't want to see the authority, Stephanie McMahon, anymore. This shit about her, where even last week I was questioning whether or not that was a face turn for Steph because she was garnering sympathy through Mick Foley saying, "Hey, you're still my little girl."
Gone.
That's gone.
Yeah.
And what is replaced with is the same old shit. Stephanie being in charge, being the boss's daughter, being Vinnie Mac Jr. Yeah, it's just like it's all the same shit. And then, she got picked up by Triple H, and then Triple H said, "Hey, how'd it go?" And she said, "Great." And like, that's it. You had Triple H on fucking TV, and we still don't get any further into the storyline for what happened to the last pay per view.
If the payoff from this storyline is that Triple H is doing this behind Stephanie's back and Stephanie deserved all the sympathy,
then that's
it's
going to
be worthless because right. they fucked it up with this.
And that would have been more interesting. That would have been more different. That would have been not the same shit that we've been seeing. Now it's, the authority again. Quo. Oh, well,
I think it's already back to status quo because
it is.
Of that scene of Triple H and them picking her up at work or whatever Corey said. Mm-hmm. That to me, that was a reveal of, she knew all along and she's a heel.
Yeah.
That's what I took it as. And that's done. And then that cemented that on Raw whenever she was just tearing into Mick Foley.
Yeah, because she made it clear that this is no longer an emotional connection between Mick Foley and Stephanie. It's a business
right.
relationship. And she's going to handle business the way she's always handled it. And that's like a
– And not only that, Mick Foley was taking it like a bitch. Like, I'm sorry, and this and that. And, it was –
I really want season 2 of Holy Foley on the network. Yes.
Might as well have been saying that because he was just, "Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am." It was sad.
Yes, Amasa.
Yeah. So none of that shit. If that's the way they're going to go, then I'm already checked out.
I'm cashing
thing.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm done with the whole thing because from this point forward, Mick Foley's not going to have any authority. Really? If you think about it.
Status quo. What's the point of having rematches between the New Day and Bullet Club if there's no change? What's the point of milking two commercial breaks and 30 minutes of the beginning of your show with Rusev versus Roman if you're going to end it with a count-out brawl?
That was a 30-minute match. They ended on a count-out.
And the worst part was that could have been my pick for match of the week because it was fucking good. It was good. Clash gave me a pretty good match. Raw gave me a better match.
Rusev was pissed.
Until the way they finished that match. I
was like, was Rusev the face in that match?
No.
Hell, was he the face at Clash?
No.
He was defending his woman's honor. And then he's pissed off because he lost the title.
Again, another example of attitude.
It's subjective because the smarks out there, they're going to side with Rusev just because he's fighting Roman. But everybody else loves Roman. So, and Roman has another thing heelish.
Yeah. You know what would have made Rusev a face in this entire storyline? If this whole relationship with Rusev and Lana was featured like since last season of Total Divas.
Okay.
If that would have gotten more exposure as something legit, then Roman could have successfully pulled off a heel turn after already failing a drug test and nobody liking him to begin with anyway. Mm. With him picking on the nice cute couple from Total Divas that are trying to make a living here in this country. You know, so it's again the visual of, okay, we're supposed to cheer the guy that shoved a hot chicken cake and talking trash about the other dude's dick, you know, like, and I already have incentive to not cheer Roman. How is this not?
If they didn't, if whenever he came back from his suspension, if he didn't immediately turn heel, they weren't going to do it. Yeah. Because he had that intangible right then and there where he could justify turning him heel right then and there. But they didn't. And from that point forward, you knew he was going to be fighting Rusev. That was all you're going to do with that. So
$64,000 question. We talked about this before. They built up Rusev again from scratch, killing people left and right. Was it worth it giving it up to Roman?
No. I mean,
it depends on what happens going forward.
Is this our own bias though? Or, well, is this my own bias against Roman?
If the end game for Roman is to have the entire WWE universe cheer him again, if Rusev losing to Roman is the catalyst for that, is that the payoff that's worth it? Or would you have rather seen a shorter guy or an underdog get built up to a next level star by beating Rusev? Like, what would you have rather taken?
Well, it would have to be an impressive dude because Rusev was going through quite a bit of people.
A lot of people, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm okay with it as long as it doesn't end with Roman just beating Rusev all out.
And then Rusev goes away.
Yeah. So, right now, we're just in one of the part of the phase of this feud.
Yeah.
Everybody likes to jump the gun on a lot of stuff. But I think you were even saying when we're watching Raw that, okay, Hell in a Cell. Since they both,
yeah, it's definitely not over. I mean, yeah. I guess they're gonna have a fucking best of seven series.
No, I'm thinking that's in Hell in a Cell, so they don't escape.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah. How about the main event, the title scene right now? Owens versus Rollins, main event, Clash of the Champions. What'd you guys think? I did not watch that either. I just saw the last couple of bits of it waiting in line. I saw the gut buster from the top right to his ribs and Jericho coming out. Doing this.
Okay, let's talk.
Raise my hand too.
Let's talk about this first. This end of the match. You watched it, right?
Yes.
The end of the. Yes. The ref. I want to start talking about when the ref got bumped.
Okay.
Went out. Shenanigans happened.
Right.
He rolls him up, or he has him counted 1, 2, 3, whatever. Mm-hmm. But the ref's out, and then Stephanie comes out with the ref. Now here's where things start to fall apart. The ref runs out, and then he stops to check on the referee. Which I've never seen that happen in the history of refs getting bumped. I've never seen the replacement ref
check on the ref.
He's out. That's why you're out there to replace him. Fuck him. Get your ass in the ring.
Yeah, that's why that motherfucker was second string.
Corporate America over here.
Well, I mean, you got medical people for that. Come on, you're not a medical profession. Get your ass in the ring.
You're just supposed to count the 1, 2, 3. Exactly. And that's it.
That's why you're in there. Ask Hebner. He knows.
Yeah.
So he comes out there, and then there was a. Weird. Oh, and then Jericho comes out. He's on the apron, and he caused a distraction. But it was a weird way he distracted him, and there was a delay in that. And then there was a roll up. It was confusing, weird.
It's just a big old mess. Yeah,
ugh. I thought we were tired of that. Oh well.
But anyway, I was not emotionally invested in this match in the first place.
Yeah.
Ever since the brand split, if you go back the records when the brand split started,
you proclaimed SmackDown dead.
It was getting there, and then they turned it around once that first pay per view hit, leading up to it, and then from there they've been upward stride on SmackDown. Raw, it's just same old, same old. Like I'm not, other than getting a new belt, nothing else.
Is Kevin Owens being champ same old, same old?
I just wonder if Finn Balor didn't get hurt. What was your plans?
Yeah, I don't know.
Travis Morrison asked, do you think they're going to panic over the low ratings and blame Owens for it?
No.
Maybe.
No. Vince said in the last quarter statement or meeting things that they're not worried about ratings right now.
What? Why?
Because they have all these other outlets. They have the network. They have social media. They have all this other stuff. So okay. They have their core audience. So they don't need to get eights and nines like they used to. Even though they're barely catching threes, but whatever.
Hector Reyes asked, in a nutshell, what's our thoughts on the cruiserweight division from both Raw and Clash of the Champions?
Well, I think we kind of covered that.
Yeah, we covered that pretty thoroughly, I think. I like it.
Elmer Navarrete, you know,
Elmer.
Oh, Elmer.
Do you still believe it's not butter?
What isn't butter? What, the nut butter? What? What kind of butter do you want? Huh? Mm. What are you eating over there? Freaking...
Is butter in your diet?
Yeah, you can eat butter.
Yeah, you're good. You won't die?
Butter doesn't have carbs.
Okay.
Yeah, butter's fine.
Margarine's evil twin butter. But brother.
I put that shit on everything.
I think between Raw and Clash, that's it for the red brand.
Okay.
The red brand.
Does that mean we're ready for the blue brand?
Yeah. One pay-per-view in. I'm with Travis. SmackDown's the show to watch.
Yes,
I agree. Fresh. It's new. It's got the new car smell.
I think we're all in agreement on that. I agree. SmackDown, Blue Brand.
But here's the thing. Is it because it feels like a fresher show, or is it because Raw is just same old, same old? To me, that's what it is for me. Raw feels like nothing's changed. You just have half the roster.
Again, I have to question whether or not Kevin Owens being champ is same old, same old. But everything else has been same old, same old. I just think that SmackDown is better. I don't know if we want to say because it's different or fresh or whatever. It's just better right now. The feud for the women is better. It seems like the tag stuff going on is a little bit more interesting.
He paused about Lucha last week.
He just fucking timed out.
I know. You talked about Lucha from last week's episode. You wanted to gush about the American Alphas last week, and we couldn't.
Oh, yeah.
Go for it.
The match with the American Alphas, I really liked.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I didn't want to be like Trump last night and just like,
Kool-Aid.
By the way,
57 fucking times, for fuck's sake.
111 million people watched that damn thing. We watched it. Some of it, anyway.
Yeah.
Because we figured it'd be more entertaining than Raw.
And fast forward juice.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And it was more entertaining than Raw.
Well, some parts of it. Anyway.
What I was trying not to do, he just did.
Ah, I see.
They'll go Alphas. Yeah.
American Alphas. So what, the week before.
The presidential debate. No.
Ford better come back from Mexico, right? The bitches. Yeah.
they immediately came out and said, we're not going anywhere. We don't know what the hell he's talking about. We're an American company and we're staying in America. Yeah, that was pretty crazy. You okay there? Sniffles McGee?
For a second, thought Trump was on coke. I was doing that a lot during the show.
Yeah. Heaven forbid anybody catches a cold during election season. For fuck's sake.
Zika.
Anyway.
Alphas.
American Alpha. Although I don't like the fact that this kind of means that we're not going to see them a whole lot, I do like the psychology of the match itself. Where,
poor Gable
was really trying to wrestle. Jordan was like, I don't think I'm going to tag you in, dude. You're hurt, bro. I got this. I'll handle it. And then he tried to handle it, and he didn't handle it because, it's a tag team match and, whatever. I liked the psychology of it all. It was really good.
The part that got to me the most, and I wanted to make this a match of the week then, but okay. We didn't get a chance to see it, was – Jordan struggling to get to the corner to make a tag, and Gable struggling to climb up the apron to get to the top turnbuckle so he can reach out and make the tag.
Right.
Like, it showed the Gable's selling of the entire injury from jump. The Usos killing him last week and then again last night.
Yes.
How are you feeling about the Usos' full-fledged 100% turn now? We got new get-ups, now new intro music. They ditched the face paint.
The heel turn is complete with the music.
Yeah. It's interesting, and that's my favorite word that I always want to see happen. It's interesting. It's different. I don't know if I'm like, all sold on them being heels now, and I fucking love them. I think, all right, I'm willing to roll with this. I'm willing to see where it goes. You guys are doing something different. All right, I will continue, my friend. That's how I feel about it right now.
What do you think, Travis? Yeah, Ascension actually got a win out of the whole situation.
Holy shit, the Ascension got a win
out of the eight-man tag. What do you think?
That's a team I want to see make interesting.
Yes.
A new face paint doesn't count.
No.
Yeah, the Usos, I'm digging them. Not only because it's a heel turn, whatever, but their style has changed a little bit. And now that busted out the knee curb stomp.
I don't know what it was. Yeah.
And into the Tequila Sunrise.
Yes.
Somebody called it.
Yeah.
Mauro, I think, called it that.
Yeah, because I think
that's the technical term. I don't know if the Usos are going to call it the Samoan squash or whatever.
But I'm digging it so far. And it's you with a smaller roster, you need to have a diversity of heels and faces. Mm-hmm. And
that was it.
Yeah, whatever. Okay.
Whatever. Ghosts.
It is close to October.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It'll be spooky.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, what are we talking about?
Well, let's get Abel riled up here for a second.
Uh-oh.
What'd you think of The Miz?
Oh God.
Do you need a tissue? Oh, shit.
No, that was probably...
Oh, God, yeah.
That was probably the best stuff from The Miz that I've seen him in the ring, you know?
In the ring.
Obviously, the best thing was a pipe bomb on Talking Smack, you know, a couple of weeks ago. But him
he's
coming
building
out,
on it,
yeah,
like him, a terrorist.
Yeah, him, him coming out in the middle of the you know ring or whatever with the microphone. That's the best thing I've ever heard him say. The best mic work I've ever heard him do. It was great. And it seemed as though he kind of got to the point where, wow, I pulled this off there. I wonder if I could channel that same type of energy and do it again and pull it off here. And he did. So I loved it.
What do you think?
You said it. So
some marky.
Yeah. I don't know. I wasn't really emotionally invested like some people in this table with this. But it wasn't bad. But I knew as soon as he mentioned Ziggler's parents – it was going to transition into that. And I think it progressed enough between them two to where, like Ziggler, you talked about Miz. I thought Ziggler did a damn good job.
Yes. Yes, he did. I agree.
Because he didn't sound whiny like he has before. He sounded, I don't know, maybe distraught or just frustrated with himself.
Mm-hmm.
The
dude was damn near tears.
Yeah, it was. You could feel that. I don't know if it's because his hometown, his parents were right there or whatever, but it felt real. And I saw it coming of the whole putting his career on the line. And sure enough, once Miz says, unless you got like your career or something, then I've got nothing for you.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, there you go.
The only thing I would have added to that, because the Miz, the character in the ring, said, unless you're gonna put your career on the line, you don't have anything I want. So that was left unanswered. So as he left the ring, I would have loved Dolph's first words to say, I accept. Have you all wondering, what the fuck is he accepting? You know, and have the Miz sell like, accept what? And then go into every single thing that Ziggler had said in that promo. But start off with, I accept. To throw everybody off.
Mm. Yes.
So that's been...
Because I haven't heard that been done before.
Yeah, it's been done. I'm drawing a blank on who it was, but I know because I thought about that too when I was watching that. I'm drawing a blank, but I know that has been done before with someone saying I accept, with someone just saying something as part of a promo, and then the other person going off on, man, I wish I could.
Either way, it would have been more poetic if you said it that way, but it was still
that's great. Nitpicking though.
Yeah,
from the beginning, Miz's homecoming, it's part of the contract, he's in the back in Cleveland. They show the close-up of LeBron James, and then they're putting the Miz's picture over. We've already been gushing over the Miz and Maurice combo for months.
Yes.
This was the culmination of, all right, he's here.
Yeah.
He's gotten over on Ziggler already more than once. I was ready to check out of the Ziggler thing until this happened, but a lot of that did have to do with the Miz just, like, going full bore, dude. Like, I'm in.
Let me ask you this. What if Ziggler does not win this match?
And Ziggler goes away?
Yeah.
And goes away. Remember the promo?
Yeah, right.
Miz said, I don't want to see you on Raw or NXT.
30-day suspension, nothing, yeah.
Well, it's funny because I think I think it was Friday, Thursday or Friday, something like that, that on News with a Z sites, that they're like, oh, is Dolph Ziggler not renewing his contract? And I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. If I see it in more sources, I'll believe it. But then you know, did. I didn't hear it. I did not see any more sources. I did not. It was just that one source, and that's it, whatever. Meh. But then when all that went down last night, I was like, oh, shit. You know, was there
the light bulb went off.
Was there some validity to that? And is this his out? Is he going away? If he loses and he goes, he's actually fucking gone, going to go be a stand-up comedian or go fuck Amy Schumer again or something. Like, I don't know. If that happens and he walks away and goes away because he really doesn't want to be there anymore, and he gives that much of a rub to The Miz to say that The Miz for the rest of his time, he could say, hey, I ended Dolph Ziggler's career, I'm okay with it. Now, if it's the other way around, Ziggler's sticking around, that News with a Z was bullshit, and, you know, hey, that's just finally the way to put it on Ziggler, I'm happy with that too, because before the exchanging of words, when it was Miz out there and Ziggler's coming out, I was like, ugh. You know, but they saved it with the words that were spoken. And then once I started having the gerbil turner in my brain, I was like, ah, this could be something really good, really special. You know, I was kind of venturing into Charlotte, Sasha, Bailey territory there mm-hmm. with them. But now I'm like, this is the gimmick that it needed. This is the extra little paprika that you need to put on there.
Okay. Nice. Okay. How about the main event? Oh. Styles versus Ambrose.
Well, real quick, before we get into that, there was a women's tag team match. It was Naomi and Nikki versus Carmella and Natty.
Natty. I love that Carmella has the winning number over.
Well, yeah, that's great. The one thing that I took away from that whole thing was before the match even started, they both had pre-match promos. I loved the fact that it was old school, full screen. They had a fake little background. You could tell it was superimposed, whatever, behind him. That looked straight up 80s, 90s, perfect. And I love the fact they both got him. You know me, I'm old school.
Nostalgic.
Yeah, so I dug it. And again, it's something that separates SmackDown from Raw, something different. And it fuels the fire of them fighting each other. Mm-hmm. You know, so it wonderful. Thumbs up.
Styles versus Ambrose, main event. What'd you think?
I was kind of surprised because as much as we've been kind of harping on SmackDown, how good it's been going, I feel like it's still it doesn't get as much acknowledgement as Raw does for whatever reason. Like they get like commercial breaks on Raw where, hey, this match is going to happen on SmackDown. But, I mean, if you're fast-forwarding the commercials, you don't even see it. Mm-hmm. And it's like we just had a rematch for the title on SmackDown, and I feel like it wasn't hyped up or anything. And I don't know. I mean, the match was okay, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I really liked the match. I enjoyed it. I liked Cena being out there on commentary. And I liked just seeing.
Cena did a good job on commentary.
He did. He did a very good job. I just liked the match itself. Like, I think this week had a lot of good matches that weren't supposed to be good, that I wasn't invested in, and blah, 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 this and that. But the matches that I wasn't invested in wound up being decent in-ring product. And I think that's the same thing here. Like, as far as Ambrose goes, I was like, I don't care. But I like the way the match ended.
How did it? I can't even remember how it ended.
Cena provided a bit of distraction.
That's right.
And then AJ got the roll up, but pulling on the pants there, I would say tights, but he's wearing jeans and pulled on the jeans.
Everybody wanted to beat up Cena in that match. Okay, he wasn't even in it.
Let me ask you this. What was the better takeaway from SmackDown? The world title rematch or the Intercontinental title stuff?
From SmackDown?
Yeah.
The Intercontinental title stuff.
Because to me, that stands out more than what happened on the world title
scene. I agree. Unless you're talking about talking smack.
I didn't watch talking
smack. That doesn't mean to say that Cena was dead weight in that match, because his commentary, dude, he did his damn – the one thing Cena does when he's on the commentary, he makes damn sure that he is not perceived as fighting scrubs in his matches. Right. He put Dean Ambrose and AJ Styles over just as much on the microphone as he would laying down for Ambrose last week on Raw, laying down for Styles on SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. So that's Cena did his job just as good as the wrestlers did in the ring for the main event. That being said, the authenticity of what you have right now with Ziggler's losing streak and The Miz being a super huge lovable dick.
Yeah.
That's my biggest takeaway from SmackDown.
Did you watch Talking Smack?
Nah.
Neither.
I was busy. Okay. Here's the problem. Live Metallica show last night at Webster Hall. 30th anniversary of Cliff's passing. I found a feed on Periscope and I saw the whole thing. So I was jumping back and forth. So once SmackDown was done, I was done. Like I went right to the rest of the show.
Okay. You know how highly I spoke of what I thought The Miz did in the ring. Mm-hmm. Cena had probably the best promo I've ever seen him do on Talking Smack. Holy shit, he went off.
Bullet points. What got your attention?
He said that, yes, I am trying to become the 16-time world champ. No, I am not hiding from it. No, it's not a dirty word. Yeah, I'm going out there to win. And I am not trying to just say, oh, I want to win a match, and I'm putting that on my mind like any other athlete whenever they're approaching a milestone. He's like, no, I'm trying to win this. He also said that he addressed Dean Ambrose's comments about how he's a lazy part-timer. And he's like, yeah, I'm not there as often as I could be, but I'm far from being a part-timer. For example, when I'm done with this right now, I'm getting on a plane because I got to fly across the country to go do an interview to help promote Total Bellas. Whereas right now, Dean is going home. He thinks that I'm a part-timer because I'm not here as much with the boys in the back. But I'm working twice as hard as he is. I'm doing more stuff than he is. He thinks that his time as champ was all that you have to do. But no, I'm out there putting in way more work than anybody else ever sees. And if that makes me different, if that makes me an outcast because I'm in a different locker room, a separate locker room, no, he doesn't understand. He doesn't get it. He's not championship material yet.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
He said all that during the commentary.
Yeah, a little bit, but he
touched on it.
He fucking went full bore. It was like a solid like 10 minutes of him just with the mic at the end of Talking Smack. That Renee asked him one question and he just 10 minutes solid of him just.
So was that all on Ambrose or was that laying it in on Styles or just him putting himself out there and letting everyone else perceive whatever they want?
It was more of him putting himself out there, defending himself in the way he is and who he is and why he thinks he needs to.
Defending himself instead of being offensive towards someone in particular.
Well, with the exception of Dean. Like, he really put Dean on blast a whole lot. And, God, it was fucking great. I really liked what he said. Like I said, that's probably the best stuff I ever heard him say. We've heard a lot of audio out of Cena over the years. And I fucking enjoyed the shit out of it.
We got a question at the last minute, now that we're ending the SmackDown chatter.
Yeah.
On Facebook.
Old Ginger Seth Rogen.
Yeah. Andrew Williams. Do you think it's better to main event SmackDown or be a mid-carder on Raw with future potential?
Ooh. It's kind of hard to say right now what the fate of SmackDown is going to be. Whereas if this was the first brand split, it's probably better to be the main eventer on SmackDown than a mid-carder on Raw, because basically if you're a mid-carder on Raw, you're just a mid-carder on Raw, then you get drafted in SmackDown. And then if you're the main eventer on SmackDown, then, hey, you might be able to go back to Raw and win the real title. But now it's like, are they on even footing? Is SmackDown more important than Raw? I don't know. So right now it's
all preference. Like, I mean, weird. When you say better, like, what do you mean? Do you mean, because if you want to say on Raw or SmackDown, well, I wouldn't blame anybody for saying mid-card on Raw because it's the flagship show.
It's been there for 15, 20 years.
It's the longest running episodic television.
Yeah. SmackDown's hopped around Tuesday, Thursday, Fridays.
It's
impact, basically.
You're going to get more eyes on it if you're on Raw.
Yeah.
On SmackDown, anybody would want to be a main event on a show.
Yeah.
And if you're a mid-carder on Raw, if you go over, you could be a main eventer on SmackDown. So I don't, I mean, I don't, between the comparison of the two, but I don't see it being a bad thing if you're a solid mid-carder on Raw.
Right. So do you think that it's no longer a stepping stone to be the champ of SmackDown to go on to something better?
Fuck no, not right now. SmackDown's got the title.
I think that's the heart of the question there, basically.
Yeah, you said just a second ago, go get the real title on Raw. Fuck that. No, the Raw.
Well, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Not now. And I think that's the distinction. Now, is that the case? And I would say no. So I'm agreeing with you there, basically. Yeah. Well, I'm agreeing with Asterisk in the sense that it still remains to be seen.
If I was a wrestler,
right,
and I've grew up with WWE and I had in my mindset, you know.
You'd rather have the WWE title than the Universal title.
I would rather be on SmackDown to fight for that title than the Universal title.
That's kind of like the similar question we've had before. Do you want to be on the main brand that sucks dick right now, or do you want to be on NXT that everyone's talking about? So right now, I'd rather be on the show, just like I would rather be on NXT that everyone's talking about. Right now, I want to be on the show that is up on the incline. And right now, the show on the incline, 2 hours, SmackDown. You get a little more freedom. They test a little more waters out there. Everybody's on equal footing. SmackDown's the place to be.
Yeah.
So I would pick SmackDown.
It's the fresher show right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just wish they would get a new theme song for SmackDown. Ugh.
Yeah, that pop rock kind of thing.
I was just getting used to the old one right before the brand split. I was just starting to like it, and then they changed it.
Yeah.
And I like the set for SmackDown better, too.
The center opening?
Yeah,
that's good. So we're going to end the show with something a little off, weird, kind of. TNA's still in the news, like the Zombie Federation that refuses to die. We have this conversation every year, and it's still around.
Well, we talked about last week where there's rumors that there's might be a buyout.
Yeah.
Vince might be interested in it just for the video library, since half his roster was from TNA.
Now.
Hell, his world champion, they can't even talk about his highlight of his career, the highlights of his career, because of TNA.
Mm-hmm.
But now these rumors are back again this week, and now apparently – time is running out for someone to buy it because apparently they don't have the money to broadcast Bound for Glory.
Oh God!
Let alone the
taping. Which is this Sunday,
which is their biggest show of the year.
Jinx.
Is there a card for Bound for Glory?
I'm gonna run down the matches real quick, and then you tell me if it gets your attention.
Does it matter?
Yeah, it does.
If it doesn't even fucking air, does it matter what the fuck the card is?
DJ Z against Eddie Edwards for the X Division title.
All right. Yeah, okay. Let's humor the people for a
10-man
second.
10-man gauntlet Bound for Gold. It's a 10-man gauntlet match. It's basically a battle like a Royal Rumble. Last two men, it becomes a one-on-one pinfall match.
Okay.
The winner gets a title shot at the title of their choice.
Okay.
Maria versus Gail Kim for the Knockouts title.
Okay.
How about Moose versus Mike Bennett?
Okay.
Aaron Rex, former Damian Sandow, against Drew Galloway. The Decay, Abyss and Crazy Steve, against the Broken Hardys in a False Count Anywhere, no holds barred war for the TNA
not
titles.
At the compound.
No.
The Impact Zone.
Yeah. Okay. And then your main event, Bobby Lashley versus Ethan Carter III for the TNA World Heavyweight title.
Not to mention Cody Rhodes is going to be debuting.
9 times out of 10, I've got my money that he's going to win this the title shot. He's going to be in that gauntlet, and he's winning it. Yeah. If TNA has at least another guaranteed year,
which they don't,
Cody's winning that heavyweight title. You'd be a fool not to put a heavyweight title on Cody Rhodes.
Well, that's been TNA's modus operandi for the last 10 years.
And that's the other side of the coin.
Oh, we got somebody from WWE. Let's slap a title on him. Yeah.
Thumbs up or thumbs down that this show is even going to happen?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Well, okay. I think it's going to happen. You don't think it's going to happen at all?
Yeah.
It's going to go dark, bro.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Why?
For once, I want to see something that's never been done before, and I want to see a federation not make it to their show. We never got to see the inner workings of the Big Bang Theory, which was supposed to be the pay-per-view of WCW before Vince bought them out, that they were going to reboot the thing and start from scratch. Okay. We never really knew it was coming until a week or two ago when they put the company on sale and WWE bought it. Like, we've known about this for 10 years? No, 5 years, that TNA was going to die, slowly but surely. You know, and dialysis, refibrillation, somehow they're still ticking. But this could be the end. And the documentarian in me, the historian, wants to see this unfold to the bitter fucking end.
Is this the bitter fucking end? How many times we said on this show, oh, well, this is the end for TNA, and then it doesn't happen.
if you're coining LOL Cena wins, I'm coining WTF TNA still alive.
Okay. Hypothetical here. Say Vince does buy it because he wants the library. You know he wants it now with all of his wrestlers that he has. Does he do a WCW and close the book on it and that's it? He just brings over some talent that he wants? Or does he fund it and keep it going?
You don't fund it. No way.
Put on the network?
If it was the last show, I would expect AJ Styles, Samoa Joe to be on the ramp congratulating him and closing the curtain. Done. Like, that'd be it. If it were to be the last show, there's no reason for him to there's reasons, the international deals, but WCW had more going for them and had more worth as far as roster and name value itself. When it died, TNA is like pennies on the dollar, popularity wise, talent wise, contract wise, as a brand, their recognition, like,
and it's not always popularity aside. It's funding the damn thing. Like, if you go back to ECW's last shows, all their shows were sold out.
Yeah.
Like, people were going with their fucking shows, but they just couldn't sustain.
The train ran out of gas.
Yeah. And I think that's what's happening with TNA.
I mean, you want to talk about comparing it to WCW. Maybe it's better to compare it to ECW. Well, I know. No. I'm piggybacking off of what you're saying. I'm not discrediting what you're saying. With ECW, when the invasion happened, it was, oh, the WCW invasion. Oh, with ECW also on the side. Mm-hmm. But here, it's not like, oh, a big thing. It's like, oh, they get TNA. And yeah, sure, they didn't have the network back then. They do have the network now. So feasibly, they could just slap something on the network and say, eh, fuck it, why not? But at the same time, it's like they already have so much stuff to do as is on the network. So why put something on there that's not theirs? Sure, once they buy it, it's theirs. But when they could just take it, mold it, do it the way they want. And, I mean, all you need to do is raid their roster, and that's it. And even then, that's already happened.
And that's why
Who are they going to raid? Who are they going to take now?
That's why I wouldn't even compare it to either WCW or ECW. When they bought WCW, there was a shit ton of guys that they didn't have. They signed Steiner after the purchasing. They signed Goldberg later after the purchasing. They got their hands on DDP after the purchasing. Even though they got some good talent, they got the Big Show, they got Chris Jericho, they got Rey Mysterio before. That was rats jumping off the ship before it sank, and then WWE going in the ocean and pulling out whatever gold was left.
Rey Mysterio was after all that. But anyway,
ECW. Right when ECW got on TNN, they took the Dudley Boys and Taz. Mm-hmm. And they were already working on getting RVD.
Raven
was
too, right?
And Raven was hopping around too. After that, they still got RVD. They still got the Sandman. They still made something out of Tommy Dreamer.
Even when
they resurrected ECW again, they still found worth with Tommy's Dreamer, Sandman, Sabu. They still had roster that they can take. Who the fuck are they going to take from TNA?
That's the thing.
Go back down that list. Go back down the list of who's actually on the pay-per-view right now. Okay, Bobby
Lashley. That they haven't already gotten.
All right, Bobby Lashley, give him a second chance. Why the fuck not? They give him a chance. EC3, same thing. Okay, well, there's your two main eventers.
Here's a good one. All right. Throw DJZ in the Cruiserweight.
Yes, okay, DJZ. There's who else?
Okay, who else? You already had Tyrus.
Yeah, they were. No, fuck.
Robbie E., Baron Dax, Jesse Godders,
no.
Grado?
Maybe no.
Rockstar Spud?
No.
Mahabali Shira?
No.
Basil Baraka. I have no idea who
that
is.
I don't even know who that is.
And Cody Rhodes is in this match. Well, so that doesn't count.
Cody isn't gonna go back.
So that doesn't count.
Hardys. Maria? Maybe. That'd be nice.
How about Gil Kim?
Maybe.
Well, we've seen that happen twice already.
Yeah, good point.
If you had to pick
Bennett
over Moose?
Ooh.
Yes.
Ooh. As a package with Maria, or just Mike Bennett on him by his own?
A package.
Okay.
Package.
You just finished getting rid of
dude Mike Bennett with Maria versus Miz and Maryse.
For
the IC title.
Bennett against Rusev with the women in the corner.
No, I'm more interested in Miz and Maryse.
Really?
Against Bennett? Against Bennett and
that's proof that the Miz is coming around.
No, shut up, dude. No, listen to me. Bennett and Miz makes a much better mix-up of a match, I think. It's two different styles.
Okay, then, who's the face?
Oh. By default, it'd be Miz, I think. Because
and would you still like the matchup with the Miz as a face after he's done so well as a heel with Maurice?
Bennett will have to be the face.
No, fuck that. Bennett is going to be the upstart, like, heel trying to dethrone Miz.
But have you seen Maria's ass? I can't believe that ass.
People in Ring of Honor don't care because the matches are that good. So yeah. That Maria's ass really doesn't count in this situation.
That's true.
Yeah.
What else? Bring back Drew Galloway? Bring back Sandow?
Yeah.
NXT for either one
maybe,
of them?
Maybe.
Before we get to the obvious, how about the Decay? No?
Abyss? Yes. Crazy Steve? I don't think that they'd want Crazy Steve.
The Decay? No. Here's why. It's PG era. You cannot do the same shit they're doing.
That's why you can't have Crazy Steve. They could put Abyss to work.
Abyss is a fucking hardcore wrestler. That's all he's been.
All right, then. Can the Broken Hardys get over in a PG gimmick?
Well, no.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe?
Against the Wyatts? That's storyline written all over.
That story writes it fucking self.
It has been on Twitter.
Yeah.
Surprised Meek Man had to take in this long to sign him.
Dump that shit with Randy Orton and him being a Viper and trying to scare fucking Bray.
Oh, dude. Lucha's already set the environment that they can get away with stuff like that. SmackDown, no. That was 15 minutes of my life I wish I could get back.
Dude, when Orton opened the door and then you saw the camera angle from inside the door, the initial reaction was, what the fuck is that cameraman doing in there? You know? Yeah. Like, come on. And then, like, he's there at the door, and then Rowan's there at the door, but they're at a slight enough angle where they don't see each other. Ooh, tee, hee, hee. Like, get the fuck out.
Why are you using my tissues, dude? What the fuck?
I'm sorry.
Who would you rather bring back, Bobby Lashley or Ethan Carter?
It's already gone. I can't use
it. Ethan.
Really?
Ethan Carter.
Over Bobby Lashley.
Over Bobby Lashley.
Bring both.
But if you have to choose.
If you have to choose.
Ethan's got the
Ethan
charisma.
Carter, yeah.
He's got the charisma.
If they're buying out the TNA library, would you bring Ethan Carter as that gimmick?
Yes.
And keep the TNA alive that way? Or would you or would you repackage him back as whatever the fuck he was before?
No, EC3 all the way.
With the Pringles thing on his shoulder.
The Pringles thing on his shoulder.
He would act out euphemisms like he's like, oh, I have a chip on my shoulder.
Oh, yeah. The fuck that. Yeah, EC3, the one thing he's known for, or the fucking stupid thing that you
debuted with. Well, but he has a point. Do you really want to have a Carter on your show?
Yeah. Well, technically, you're buying TNA.
Did they do the same thing with Bischoff's kid?
Garrett and TNA? WWE never got Garrett.
Okay.
No, so. I mean, I didn't even make that connection. It's just the character. I didn't even think of Carter.
Well, his character is Dixie.
It's too fucking petty to worry about that. No,
dude, this is WWE we're talking about.
So WWE, obviously, again, we're getting back to the subject of TNA being up for sale. Again, WWE is not the only buyer. Would the news interest you enough to watch Ring of Honor pay-per-view this Friday, knowing that there's a possibility that some TNA that we can have TNA versus Ring of Honor if Sinclair buys TNA?
Sinclair might buy TNA. They're in the
if running. We find out conclusively before the ROH pay-per-view on Friday, I'd be interested. But if nothing comes by
if that's
Friday,
just news with the Z, it's another ROH pay-per-view, which we technically never watch.
Well,
I kind of feel bad about that. Like, we should make more of an effort. I've always said I'd make more of an effort, but
yeah. We went over TNA's card, so just for shits and giggles, to make the effort.
Okay.
Four Corner Tag Survival for a tag team title shot. All Night Express, Shane Taylor and Keith Lee, Dalton Castle and Colt Cabana, and War Machine.
Oh,
six man tag. They're starting the tournament for the six man tag titles.
They're trios titles.
Yeah, Jay White, Kushida, and ACH.
Okay.
Against Toru Yano and the Briscoes.
Okay.
Hangman Page against Kyle O'Reilly.
Okay.
Could be good.
Kamaitachi against Dragon Lee. I don't know who Dragon Lee is. Yeah. Kamaitachi. Naito from Los Ingobernables.
Okay.
Against Jay Lethal.
Really?
Something must have happened in the tapings that we missed. Donovan Dijak against Bobby Fish for the television title.
Really?
With Bobby Fish as champion.
Wow. Okay.
So Nana's in the corner.
I'd be interested in that.
How about Michael Elgin versus Adam Cole, baby, for the world title?
Anyone but Elgin.
Yeah, anyone but Elgin. Ugh, Elgin.
The main event billed by Ring of Honor's pay-per-view website.
Wait, that world title match isn't the main event?
The main event, Ladder War 6 for the tag titles. Daniels and Kazarian, The Addiction, versus the Young Bucks versus Motor City Machine Guns. Mm.
Ooh.
That's ending the show.
Ooh, that is going to be a spot fest to end all spot fests, and I would want to see that. I would.
But are you?
Maybe. Saturday night?
Compare the cards.
Friday night?
Compare the cards. What would you rather watch? TNA's annual WrestleMania or Ring of Honor's pay-per-view?
Cards, just
all of our cards.
ROH.
ROH.
Exactly. ROH.
We don't know half the people on TNA.
I don't know half the people on ROH.
Well, some of them are from New Japan, you haven't watched much of New Japan anyway. But now imagine a real invasion or a real brand war that Raw and SmackDown are trying to do, but Sinclair owning Ring of Honor and Sinclair buying out TNA. Would that raise your interest level in TNA's product, knowing that it's co-branded with Ring of Honor under the Sinclair umbrella?
I think that would be a little bit more different than WWE trying to pull off and do it. And I think that they would allow their talent to have enough to be true to themselves enough where it would be interesting.
I don't even see how ROH could do it. I mean, to me, it seems like they're struggling enough just to get national television. And you want to spend all the money to buy another company?
Well, it's not ROH buying it. It's Sinclair buying it, yeah, right? Sinclair owns ROH.
And the other difference is, ROH does house shows. They get a good crowd every place they go. All TNA does is put the shit for free in Universal. Like, they don't even know how to gauge how good their characters are doing because they're in the same place in front of the same fans.
Okay, again, so, would Sinclair, the broadcast company, want to get that deep into wrestling?
I don't know.
That's a big legal thing. And plus, another thing I've been hearing about all this buyout stuff, it's muddy and complicated with the ownership rights, like who has what.
Dixie has control, but it's like spread out among
but several. She, apparently she can decide who to sell it to.
Yeah.
But she doesn't have all the power. What? It's like just as complicated as the fucking storytelling on TNA.
Yeah.
Anyway, is that a show?
That's it, my man. I think we covered all the bases we needed. 202 is in the books.
Awesome.
Unless we missed something. Is there anything you want to?
I don't know. I don't think we
missed something. A
reality wrestling?
Yeah, coming up.
That's coming up a couple of weeks, I believe. I don't know anything going on about it, though. I'm terrible.
Anything in the pipeline for pop culture?
No.
Well, then. There you have it.
I think we got everything.
Yeah. So there you go. That's another one in the books. Thank you so much for joining us. If you're trying to, or if you listen to this right now on the replay, please try to watch it live one time. And
tell your friends, damn it.
Yeah, that'd be nice. So, yeah.
Oh, and there's like merch that we also get rid of from time to time?
From time to time, yeah. Check it out on online on redbubble.com as well as tpublic.com. So, yeah, that's the show. Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.
Toodles. Doug Life over here.
Yeah, maybe, maybe.
Even people getting that vibe with the backwards hat, huh?
I know, yeah. Right? Just
feel how normal you feel when the hat's forward.
Everything's dark.
Mild mannered Clark Kent.
Uh huh.
Ghetto Superman.
Ow.
Doug Life, right?
Bye. Let's get out of here. And pick up all these Kleenexes.
Buy me a box, I didn't.